You like that?
Every single time, man. Gets me every single time.
I like it too. Pumps me.
Fuck her right in the pussy.
That's fuck her right in the pussy. That's right. That's an old Russian vodka toast, as I recall. Destroy her or whatever, and then fuck her right in the pussy. Wearing that ugly little fur hat. That looks like a tower of gyro meat covered in fur. All right. You are listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papa Giorgio. I'm joined today by Howard Flood. We're here to talk NFL football today. Finally, we can talk football this week, right? Like, Joe Montana didn't murder a Haitian prostitute or anything over the weekend, right?
Not that they discovered.
It's just about football for the first time this season?
It's close.
Okay.
I mean, we'll get to that in the middle because there was the one story out of college.
Yes. Yeah. And we can definitely, we'll pull a PFT here. Anytime a guy's a potential high draft pick, Pro Football Talk is just like, fuck it. Fuck it. We want clicks. So, yeah, Jameis Winston, your second freshman Heisman winner, right?
Well, he was a redshirt.
He was a redshirt. Oh, okay. Yeah. Was Manziel? Manziel was like actual freshman, right?
He won a freshman when he won.
He wasn't?
No, I don't think so.
Shit. I thought I was going to like get all these bonus points for knowing college ball and shit. Fuck that.
Save college for the fan and focus section.
All right. Well, this is why I love the NFL. I know it well. And I'm a huge Redskins fan. But Redskins fanhood aside, and again, I'm going to quote several sites, but I like Pro Football Talk's headline the most on this one. The NFL morning after, even in defeat, Cousins was Sunday's star.
Come on.
And that's how I feel. That's Pro Football Talk, verbatim. That's their headline. And it's truly how I feel. Again, I'm a Redskins fan, not the best fan. I live to bail on them the instant they show weakness.
I mean, listen, that was a great game yesterday. That was probably the most fun I had watching football yesterday, was watching the Eagles play the Redskins.
There was no game like it this weekend. I would say Seattle-Denver close, but any game in Seattle, really, what the fuck do you expect to happen when they're even a reasonable team?
Well, hey, that was an impressive comeback by Denver. So I think that was pretty exciting. It's just, it was a rough game before that, before the fourth quarter.
Oh, I only tapped in for the second half, so I had a ball.
Oh, no, man. It was punt city for Denver.
Oh, it looked like dog shit from what I saw. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So the fourth quarter and overtime was exciting. And
well, for fuck's sake, that Redskins game ran into like half of the first quarter of all the 4 p.m. games. But for those that didn't watch the game,
who don't give a shit about the NFC East,
yeah,
self-included.
It's the beast in the East has seen better decades. We'll put it that way. So Redskins last week, RG3 fucks up his ankle. He's now out, what, conservatively five? Oh, is it up to 8?
I thought it was at least 8. No, maybe I'm on old information.
He put one of those like give me 5 week things, but I think we're as a unit a little sick of the all in for week one shit. It's like, hey, Robert, let the fucking doctors tell you when you're good, okay, buddy?
Yeah, the average expectation is 8 weeks at the earliest.
From what I've heard, every other human being, it takes a bit of time.
But it's possible to come back early, I guess. I don't know why they would. Especially if, you know.
Especially if Cousins is handling it. So in relief last week against the Jags, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Against the Jags, the very lowly Jags, who had, well, Jags fans, you had a nice half, right? That very first half of the year. That was nice. Right. You did things to the Eagles. And since then, the wheels have come off with a quickness. So Cousins looked amazing in relief against the Jaguars. And the thought was, hey, look. Maybe he is a better fit for Gruden's offense. Maybe Gruden wants a guy who just sits in the pocket like an immobile piece of artillery and then fires downfield. I think a lot of people, even if they expected Cousins to be a good fit in this offense, were not expecting much from his first start being a trip to Philly, which...
Well. So that was impressive to play well on the road, but that...
It was amazingly impressive what he did.
That Philly defense is dog shit. Like, let's see him go up against somebody who can actually play defense.
I mean, I was just saddened because I feel the game, yet again, was lost because of special teams errors. I mean, I've watched NFL religiously, I want to say, since, like, 2000. Like, I dropped out of college... And I was like, I'm going to drink and watch football on weekends. Right. That's what the fuck I'm going to do now. And has there been a more woeful unit than the Redskins' special teams in the past year and a half?
Well, that was the fault of the team for trying to take advantage of the cap-free year a couple of seasons ago.
I remember that. That was bullshit, that penalty. But everyone's thought was, okay, they were hit, what, $18 million for the 2012 and 13 seasons? I think they were $18 million lower than
they're
everyone
supposed
else.
To be back now. So
they're back this year. Yeah. So I think, you know, a couple friends of mine were like, look, special teams are going to suck. That's where they had to take the hit
right.
for that cap. The 18 mils back, you're talking a unit that week one had a, what, a blocked extra point,
yeah,
had a punt blocked, return for a touchdown. Week two, of course, their resounding win I had to miss, like the first good Redskins game in a year, and I missed it. Week three, I blinked, and a kickoff was returned for a touchdown, and we had a botched field goal. Now, I didn't major in math, but field goal equals 3 points, and when you lose by three, that would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, that's not really how I like to look at football, because that always changes the complexion of the game, the way that you strategize based on like the score at
absolutely,
that moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, I think their biggest problem to me, though, wasn't special teams for the Redskins. It's a defense that really
defense
didn't do
got
enough.
Lit for 37. Anytime you give up 37, I can't fathom looking at the D and being like, they did their job.
Well, the kick return for a touchdown wasn't their fault.
Well, that was special teams.
Yeah, so they gave up 30.
Okay.
That's still unacceptable, though. I mean, to me, it's nice that Cousins played well, but he really did have a chance in the fourth quarter to still like pull out a tie at least, if not a victory. And like, as nice as it was yesterday, I still give him a B+. The reality is he didn't push come to shove. He had a chance to take that team at least into overtime, and it didn't happen at the end.
We didn't discover Archie Manning's bastard child out there on Sunday, but for fuck's sake, he did well. And I mean, everyone watching that game, unless you're the biggest RG3 apologist, had to think, fuck, this is better than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, RG3 was not good last year. I mean, RG3 was fantastic his rookie year. That was very inspiring.
His rookie year is one for the books.
Yeah.
No one's going to deny that. No one, to sound like fat fuck Madden, no one can take that away from him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why they say that in football. I don't know who the fuck's trying to take it from him to begin with. But, yeah. No one can ever diminish what RG3's rookie year was. But to say his sophomore year was anything, it was like this short of unmitigated disaster. It was horrible.
Last season was just disgustingly bad. And then this season, he did not look good week one.
No, week one didn't look great. The fucking preseason sure didn't look great.
You can't measure preseason because EJ Manuel looked like a turd in the preseason. And he's looked a lot better since
better.
Preseason.
He's looked better.
Yeah, so
we're not getting Warren Moon in his prime.
I'm just saying, like, I was going to give RG3 the benefit of the doubt during preseason if he could step it up. And he only got five quarters in, really. Four and a half quarters, really, before this injury is now taking him out for half the season. So I look at what the Redskins have to do while he's out for Cousins to stay in. He's officially, in my books, 1-1. I know he technically didn't start last week, but Cousins really delivered that victory over Jacksonville from the get-go. He just comes in and throws a nice touchdown pass to the fullback. So
this is like his second pass, right? Yeah. Or his second play from scrimmage, at least.
And that was kind of a sign that he was going to have a good week, I feel. That was a good omen, in my opinion. It's just, is he going to be able to win games? I mean, this was one game. How is his psyche going to hold up now that he has another seven of these, let's say, that he has to try to win? What happens if he goes 2-5 over the next, like, 2 months?
I mean, then I'll get the fucking the hose and the garage door that tight, you know, shuts real tight behind my car. I don't know what to say. If he doesn't do well, then the Skins are right back where they've been for so many seasons under the ownership of Dan Snyder, except they're down several first-round picks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those situations where I look at RG3, and I look at the possibility of him coming back. I think it's possible to keep him on the bench if the Skins are doing well. I think it's possible to say, hey, listen, I mean, we'll deal with this next season. We need you to just be the backup while we ride the hot hand here. But on the flip side of that, if Cousins isn't playing well, they need to really do more to evaluate RG3. Because we're at that stage now where next season, what is going to happen at the quarterback position for the Redskins? If they're out of the playoff picture by the time he's healthy again, you're going to be in rebuilding mode again.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about that right now, because being the asshole that I am about the Redskins, let's just start to talk about rebuilding, man. So, like, what are you going to do next year if you have, like, these two quarterbacks that didn't help you get to the playoffs again.
Obviously, they'll sit on one of them. They'll keep one. And I guess it'd be RG3. But my dream would be that they amputate his lower half and replace it with the legs of a T-800. And then they're able to trade him for a lot. Like, he won't have a good football brain still, but he'll sure as shit have some swift legs on him.
I mean, here, I looked at the stats. I looked at some of the salary numbers. And here's why I don't think you get rid of either of them for next year, even if this team just goes down the toilet like I think it will this year. Next year, their combined salaries between RG3 and Kirk Cousins will be like slightly over $6 million.
I was just going to say six, probably.
Why would you trade either of those guys unless you get like a lot of fresh picks?
I don't. Okay.
You're batty if you think anybody's going to give you anything close to what you guys
paid for
RG3.
We'll move on to the rest of the league. Well, first of all, every Redskins fan right now has the wet dream that we just do the trade back to St. Louis. That's what everyone is thinking. Maybe they toss in Bradford, too. What the fuck?
You don't want that contract. That contract's horrible.
Yeah, I know. We would shave that down real good. Like, no, his current contract, he was the last of the big years, right?
He was the last number one overall pick to have an unrestricted
salary. Start with roughly, what, $80 million a year?
Put it this way, the Colts had to renegotiate Peyton Manning's contract to make sure he was paid more than Bradford. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was like that.
God bless the CBA on some things. Look, if Cousins really plays lights out, I'm just going to put it out there. I think Cousins plays lights out. This is scenario one. You look like crazy to get rid of RG3. You don't think that guy would be such a fucking bench cancer? What a locker room fucking malignancy RG3 would be if he wasn't the dude. And if you don't think that's the case, you're kidding yourself.
I mean, it's just, he's got to be a backup. That's it, period.
He would never live for that. He would never. You would have to take whatever you could on the trade market for him. Now, me, despite the durability issues with the guy, I don't think he's that damaged yet. I think some cocky offensive coordinator out there, some owner that wants to make a splash, I'm looking at you, Jerry Jones, they would be like, fuck it, I want the kid. Our offensive line is not as porous as the Redskins.
Straight up delusional. There is absolutely no way anybody's
looking at
that guy.
I think I'm
going to
do a radio show that'll take off sometime. So, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot.
I mean, I guess Houston would want him. They're not doing so hot in the quarterback department.
Dude, yeah, there's always going to be some team dying for a quarterback. Just wait for the season to play out.
All right, man, let's talk about other NFL games involving teams that have a chance of winning the Super Bowl, because I don't even think the Eagles
Well,
are in
I can't really promise you that with what I'm talking about next, but I watched Thursday night's game, and I don't know if Atlanta beating the motherfuck out of the Bucks was even more lopsided than what I saw the 49ers do to Dallas week one. But holy shit, I don't know what Lovie Smith is doing down in Tampa. It is not fielding anything competitive, though.
I mean, here's one of the things that really bothered me about Tampa Bay last offseason. Greg Schiano was actually able to take, you know, like a green quarterback in Mike Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Seattle week 9 last year and took that team to overtime.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. They really fucked up in not closing that out.
And yet, like, here you have a coach and a quarterback who are put in a situation where Josh Freeman was cut like a month into the season because he was a turd for that team. So you have the situation where they try to make the best out of the season with what you got, and they did. They actually almost beat the eventual Super Bowl champions. I think that would have been enough to keep both those guys in place. Mike Glennon at quarterback, Schiano at head coach. Instead, the Bucs decide they're going to just revamp the offense, go with a new head coach, they're going to sign Josh McCown, and they're going to hit the reset button. So what did you think was going to happen? That team was not good last year, and now it's worse.
Not just that, who the fuck ever looked at a Lovie Smith offense during his tenure with the Bears and was like, get me some of that?
Well, I always felt like Lovie was just screwed by the quality of quarterbacks he was able to get in Chicago.
Don't ever talk about Mr. Grossman and Mr. Orton that way.
I just always felt like that was his raw deal, and yet he willfully went after Josh McCown. So that's his bad. Because to me, Mike Glennon's stats last year showed a quarterback who was developing. It boggles my mind that they went with the hot hand from a different team the previous season and were hoping that a guy who historically was a terrible starting quarterback was going to be able to come in and
suddenly...
Yeah,
we're talking McCown, right? Yeah.
Never played well in the NFL before last season.
He was journeyman as hell. He was, what, 34? when he was kicking ass.
He did start for the Cardinals way back in the day, I think.
Yeah.
And terrible stats. Terrible stats.
And I'm not going to diminish what that dude did last year because I would. Look, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's a lot like RG3. They are not fucking likable. And their backup comes in and kicks ass. I was like, kick the fucking bum the hell out of here. Like, obviously, he worked within that system. But yeah, to think, hey, this guy who worked in this one system and otherwise has been decidedly mediocre or worse, we're going to import him now that he's finally had a good year. And guess what? Like, finally it clicked in his head, like, oh, throw the ball to the open receiver. He's finally grasped that. And now he's going to save this fucking franchise. And of course, the guy's been, I don't want to say shit in Tampa, but certainly not happy.
To me, it comes down to arm strength. Like, I think it's an insult what you just said about Cousins because he can actually put some zip on the ball. Whereas I've never looked at Josh McCown throwing the ball and said to myself, oh, like, that's going to be hard for a cornerback to pick up on.
Yeah, he's like Peyton Manning's arm, but like without all the good stuff in the head.
But yeah, no, Cutler's got zip. That's why, like, everybody last year, I understood why they had to go back to Cutler. Unless like,
zip is code for diabetes.
That's what Brandon Marshall wants. Like, Brandon Marshall is one of the best receivers in the league.
Who the hell's their other receiver? They have two really sick receivers all
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, they're both really good compared to, and Cousins is working with DeShaun Jackson, who's pretty good.
Garcon's good, man. I'm sorry. Garcon had a pretty decent
They're both
game.
Pretty good, but yeah. They are not at the same level as Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall.
Garcon has the best mouthpiece in the game. Those weird vampire teeth.
Oh.
Fuck, I want those.
But yeah, no, that's... I'm not going to say that Tampa's down and out for the season, but I just didn't expect them to make the playoffs, considering who their divisional foes are this year.
It's a good division to begin with. The NFC South has the Saints. Everyone views them as contenders every year. Carolina, I think, won the division last year, for fuck's sake, right?
Oh, the Steelers just took massive shit on their season yesterday.
I skipped that one, and it looked like a great decision on my part for the first half, where it was like, 9-6 or some shit?
Definitely a battle of two solid defenses with offenses that couldn't really keep pace. But I think,
I'm dicking off online, like on SI.com, and I see, like, with 2 minutes left in the fourth, it was like 36-17.
Yeah, no, the Steelers piled on. I think the Panthers were really missing Greg Hardy last night.
I don't even know what I did. I think I was just, like, looking at fucking Reddit porn again. Like, I didn't even watch, Boardwalk Empire.
I wasn't out on that Sunday night game, too. It was disappointing to see how poor Carolina's offense was playing. I don't have high hopes for the Steelers this season, but it definitely seemed like a great matchup for them because their defense is still solid. And if they go for the teams that aren't as well-known for their offense like Carolina, I think those are the teams that Pittsburgh's going to match up
well,
all against this season.
Well, I heard Newton looked like a fucking cripple.
Yeah, nah, they pulled him. They just had to pull him.
Are you kidding me? Because they're like, this is over, so we don't need you getting all banged up, Mr. Glass.
Yeah, they had to pull him by the end because it was out of reach and they didn't want him risking like
fuck it.
Injury,
at least it was a smart move. But yeah, I caught that. We can talk a little about Seattle and Denver. I saw that. The second half of that game was exciting. The end was amazing.
My take on that game is, the Broncos had to exercise the demons of the Super Bowl. Like, they got their ass handed to them so hard that they needed this, even if it's not a moral victory, but it is the sort of thing that cleanses the palate of what happened last season. Because if the next time they had played Seattle was this year's Super Bowl for a rematch, those 2 weeks would just be focused on, like, how are you guys not going to get beat by, like, 37 points again?
Yeah.
Now the focus would be, if there were a rematch, on this result, where... what are you going to do on neutral ground? Because you guys took them to overtime in their turf. So
I'm loving that in the NFC West, it is not Seattle or the 49ers in command at the moment. I'm going to pretend it's going to stay that way.
Speaking of backup quarterbacks, the Cardinals won with theirs.
Who's it, Drew Stanton?
Drew Stanton. Yeah. I don't even know where he went to college. I'll look that up next week. I'm not even going to look that up, man.
I definitely don't know where the fuck he went to college. But yeah, for my money, man, there are some interesting team standings right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at that pathetic result for New England yesterday. They barely beat Oakland.
Yeah.
Oakland's starting a rookie quarterback, and that's not a good team. And yet, they lost by a touchdown. They actually thought they had tied the game in the fourth quarter, and they just had a touchdown called back on a holding penalty.
Yeah, I heard it was something really, really shitty. But you know what? Give it up to New England. It's what happened with Seattle last year. You mentioned that they barely got past the Bucs. Everyone acts like Seattle was some juggernaut last year, but in order to beat the 49ers, I feel they had to play the 49ers at home, and they had a one-game lead in that division on the Niners. Yeah. And Seattle had more than one win by the fucking skin of their teeth. So there's a lot of a season, a lot of the late end of a season that comes down to these ugly shit wins, as long as you got them.
Yeah, no, Seattle's definitely a team that their success this season, most of us agreed, hinges greatly on their ability to get home field advantage again.
Absolutely. I think on the road, I wouldn't call them average. I wouldn't call them better than a B team.
I'm stoked to see them play against Arizona this season.
Absolutely.
I really want to see how
Absolutely.
It goes.
My last Cards game, period, actually, was seeing them beat Seattle at home.
Yeah.
And then just furiously satisfying myself. But yeah, if I were to tell you that the Kings of the AFC North were going to be the 3-0 Bengals, and they had looked amazing so far this year, that the NFC North had the Lions at 2-1, I believe on top. They've taken out the Packers, though, to do that. And I'm saying they took the Packers out at home, I'll give you that, but they got it done. That the Saints are 1-2, that the Cards, like we said, are 3-0. Chargers, I believe, 2-1 and looking very good.
Listen, it's early in the season, so what I'll say is with the NFC
it is,
South.
But we're this close to a quarter through, man. This yeah. close to a quarter through.
I think the NFC South has three good teams. That NFC North result that you mentioned with Detroit beating Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Green Bay's got issues. That team is just not looking good right now. They really have depth problems at wide receiver, I feel. Jordy Nelson is not a number one.
Let's do a 30-second aside. How did they win the Super Bowl and then have that 15-1 year the next year?
Greg Jennings. Was at the height. He was a peak number one receiver. He was in top form. And it's unfortunate that he wasn't resigned because he wanted to be paid like he deserved. And unfortunately, the only people who are willing to pay him that were Minnesota. So his career has just been stagnant since he left the Packers. The Packers haven't been as good since Jennings left. And it's just been a mutual detriment, really.
They're one of those teams that does not want to fucking pay people.
Well, they got so much money in Aaron Rodgers now.
But even then, weren't they like 10 under cap or some shit? Weren't the Bengals like a year or two the most under cap? Weren't they like 22 mil?
They were pretty bad.
Under cap?
Yeah,
God
they were
damn.
Bad.
And now they're 3-0 and looking very balanced.
Yeah, so I think I look at this picture and the topsy-turvy nature, the teams that really do seem like they are being pushed potentially out of the playoff picture that were in it last season. Green Bay is
not
at the top
last
of the
season,
list, but
perennials, dude.
Yeah.
We're talking 5 years, the Saints, the Packers.
I'm not worried
about
the Saints, man.
The cream of the NFC.
I'm worried about the Niners. That's the other NFC team I'd worry about. I don't know how, like, yeah, they should be able to pull it off, but.
Well, they got the Eagles coming to town next week. That is not a bye.
I'm really excited about that game. That's got to be
one. It's
going to
be a great
games.
One. I think it's 4 p.m., so it's probably going to be like the equivalent of a national game for Fox at 4:30.
I'm just trying to look up right now. Yeah, the 49ers. Okay, so they lost away at the Cardinals, so that's good. I was worried that their two losses were at home, which would have been an issue.
No, I just know they didn't defend the house. That was their second game of the year. Who was that against again?
That was the Bears.
Bears, yeah.
But they have two bad losses now. They really just dropped the ball these last 2 weeks. So
well, the Bears, they look like they had smashed, and then all of a sudden I blink and the Bears fucking get it.
So the 49ers still haven't put together a complete game. Like that preseason game essentially for Dallas that they played against Dallas, that just doesn't really count in my mind. Like, yeah, they really blew out Dallas.
Yeah, you always make a good argument for the first week of the season kind of being a preseason number five almost.
It doesn't have to be. I do enjoy getting those nice games where teams do look like they came to play, that they realize it's the regular season. It used to look a lot more like that before they shortened OTAs. But I'll say this, yeah, that Dallas team was terrible, terrible week one.
Yeah, now they fucking pulled one out against the Rams.
They seem to have waken up this week.
They
we'll see
look,
if they keep
didn't
it
look
up.
Bad, man. 2-1.
Their defense still sucks, but.
Yes. Howard, we wanted to do the fan in focus segment. This is where we pick a fan from a market, and then we focus on them. Title kind of explains it all. And I think week one, we had Mr. Burns, Mr. Jones. Burns doing the Browns. Week two, we had your friend, what's his name? Nate.
Yeah.
Nate was doing the Bills. Week three, we didn't really plan it out. I can't exactly, you know, say that we were too fired up to find anyone this week. We were feeling a little slothy. And you decided you are going to be the fan in focus, and that's fine by me.
I would have had a smoother, like, introduction to pretend that we'd done this on purpose, but.
Oh, no. No, we didn't. We just talked to each other like an hour ago. It's like, so, did you get anyone? No, neither did I. Do we care? No. And he said, I'm going to be the fan. So Howard Lucas Flood. There you go. There's your. I remember your middle name. You wanted to do who? Who are you a fan of? You're a weird mercenary with your fandom.
No,
so
I don't
want to
talk about NFL whatsoever. I want to talk about college football because we don't do enough of that on this show. And I feel like this is a good week to bring up some of the coverage that we've had on college players, namely Jameis Winston.
All right.
So I know we're coming off this scandal, the many domestic violence scandals in the NFL. And it immediately harkens back somewhat to coverage of the Jameis Winston scandal leading into last year's national championship game.
Well, yeah, Jameis Winston, Florida State Seminoles quarterback, got the Heisman last year. They also got the national championship last year.
Yeah.
And the cloud kind of hanging over him the whole season was an allegation of rape by a female classmate.
It wasn't necessarily just the rape charge, because it was the way that Florida State handled the investigation. The Tallahassee police, when they received the report, instantly contacted Florida State's police department to tip off Jameis Winston, basically, to get his story straight with his boys.
Bleach your underoos.
So, there was a criminal investigation. Ultimately, enough time had elapsed that it was impossible to really bring charges at that point. And now Florida State is conducting its Title IX investigation because it's a universities are obligated under federal law to investigate any accusation, any allegation of sexual assault. That's part of gender equality on college campuses now. And, you know, this happened in this event, this disputed event occurred in December 2012. And so it's highly suspicious that this is only happening after they won the national title.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's why now the feds are involved. Like the Department of Education is actually investigating Florida State.
Which it sounds like a lot of words. And if you're not really paying attention, let's just say the fucking federal government investigating whether or not a quarterback raped a chick. Not really par for the course. Not really what you want to see going on your campus.
I mean, I'll say this. A couple other schools have had claims of sexual assault filed against their players. And they immediately are suspending the players if sufficient evidence.
Yeah.
Is there to make them concerned that this probably happened. Because this isn't a criminal process. This is, well, let's look at the facts here. What does he admit to? What is she saying happened? Oh, that's bad. Yeah, you can't be on our team anymore.
So I don't want to trivialize rape. Out of everything this dude has done, the potential that he raped someone, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's the worst thing. Because since then, he got busted shoplifting crab legs.
Suspended one game from baseball.
Yeah.
Because he plays for the Florida State baseball team as well, but not football. Was not suspended for that.
Where, again, it's kind of lighthearted, but at the same time, you have to look at this dude and be like, what the fuck is wrong with your brain?
But he was finally suspended this weekend.
Finally suspended this weekend for, I believe, was it in a dining hall or where was it exactly? It was somewhere on campus. He just jumps on a table and keeps screaming, fuck her right in the pussy.
I think he did it once.
No, it was repeatedly.
Repeated?
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind this?
I know what fuck her right in the pussy means.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, for the people who don't know, like, I didn't know what this was until...
Okay, yeah. See, I think a lot of people who are very pissed that this dude... Why am I saying dude? Like I want to drop the N-bomb and that's my code for it. This man, this fellow, this student, Jameis Winston. He stands on a table, and from what I heard, and I saw there was a collection of tweets, because these guys are stars on campus, and now social media, every kid can talk about it using an easy hashtag or an at mention of Jameis Winston. It takes ESPN 2 seconds to be like, this is every student who walked by Jameis Winston doing it who tweeted about it. So multiple people were like, that was hilarious. Jameis Winston stood on a table and just kept screaming, fuck her right in the pussy.
Yeah.
And then some, a couple girls were like, well, I wasn't a fan of that so much. And that's fine, too. I'm not going to say they didn't get the joke. The whole joke is, 2 years ago, a fake Fox News video went around where they spliced in a fake reporter doing a story about a girl. I forget what the girl did, but at the end, his commentary on the girl was something to the effect of, I'd fuck her right in the pussy. And then they cut back to the desk, the news desk, where it's apparently a shit splice job, but the female anchor is just like, oh dear, I can't believe he said that on camera. How horrible. So, I mean, it's just...
It's evolved from there, though, because now there are people I guess there's one guy in particular who now tries to photobomb or video bomb news anchors doing live reports. So he'll go find the news. Yeah, and he'll just go behind him and scream, "Fuck her right in the pussy."
What the fuck's wrong with Baba Booey? Like, what, did we really, and like Howard Stern's anus? You can't scream that shit.
I'll just say this, like, it's what the kids find funny these days. So of all the things that Jameis Winston has done, this one, I don't consider it really to be a criminal infraction. I consider this to be like a stupid college joke.
Well, it's not like he was ordering a woman to be held down. Like, he was fucking Thulsa Doom pointing at the king's daughter saying he wants to fuck her right in the pussy. So, even if you don't know the internet history behind this, no woman was singled out. He's screaming something horrible.
He's just being a moron, and that's the thing.
Being a dumb fucking college kid.
And I don't understand why that's how he gets suspended.
But if you know what it is online, it's the equivalent of him going like, "Chocolate rain," over and over. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. So that's why I look at the situation, and I know for a fact, my speculative view of this, if another player on the team had done the same thing, you know, a player who had never been accused of multiple felonies.
There's no fucking story there.
It's one, it's not a story, and two, he probably doesn't even get punished.
No,
if he does,
not at all.
You're running a few extra laps at practice, something. Like, you're going to get, it's not going to be loss of playing time, though. That's ridiculous. It's really just because he is who he is.
Yeah, I mean, you can always say where there's idiot smoke, there's idiot fire, though. The guy doesn't exactly seem like he's...
What concerns me, though, I don't care that he got punished, because as far as I can tell, I would never want him on my NFL team.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's giving you signals that he's going to do some dumb shit.
It's just the way that the media coverage has singled him out for doing this. I'm like, of all the things that you're going to get on his case for, this is actually kind of making all college kids look bad, because now all of them...
Yeah.
Or under heightened scrutiny for doing anything this dumb.
I think what gets me is that they're just doing it for the sake of a story. If there was some reporter out there that was really like, "I fucking know this kid raped someone and I just want to stick it to him," I'd respect that a lot more.
I hate ESPN's coverage of the story as well, because they say he got up and made an obscene phrase. He yelled an obscene phrase.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I've been watching ESPN since I was 10. Maybe I didn't have internet access when I was 10, but I promise you, any 10-year-old who, like, is growing up watching SportsCenter is definitely Googling, "What did Jameis Winston say?"
Stop acting like we had Google when we were 10.
No, I'm just saying, but,
stop,
like, I
trying
know.
To hip us up.
I'm just saying, when we were 10, like, I don't know about you, I watched SportsCenter. And
you did once in a while.
No, I watched it every day for, like, multiple hours. I thought it was the best. I was watching Dan Patrick, Stuart Scott.
Central
I was watching
fan
on a repeat.
That age, but...
No, like, I would watch it on a repeat. So, like, the second that came up, I would have wanted to know, well, what did he say? And today, the kids have the resources to figure out. So by the greatest irony in all this is the fucker right in the pussy guy, the guy who does this behind, like, news cameras, has effectively won the internet, because he's gotten national media now to cover his story. Because even if they don't say the obscene phrase, anyone who just wants to know what he said is going to Google it, and they're going to find it really easily. So he wins.
Well, I'm going to kill your mic for using the phrase "won the internet." We're not a fucking LOL cat factory here, so sorry about that.
But no, that's my rant, man. I've hated the coverage recently, and like, I hate the way that everybody is now suddenly being part of a witch hunt that really is mostly and should be directed towards Roger Goodell. So,
oh, fuck Goodell.
Yeah. Nah, it's really infuriating to see, like, I mean, I don't know. Can we talk about Adrian Peterson a little bit before we talk about next week's game?
Yeah, absolutely.
It actually saddens me that he doesn't seem to be in line to play at all this year, because he's the best running back in the NFL. He's one of the best running backs in the history of football. And he's not just being deprived of time on the field, but I think football fans are being deprived of being able to watch him do what he does, because he is such a freak. He's such a genetic freak. He's such a freak football player. He's one of the few guys that is probably going to stick out amongst the best athletes in the world in America. So I have a real problem with the way that the situation is being handled, because he seems to be on an indefinite suspension Goodell already said that it's supposed to be a 6-game suspension.
Not just that.
Yeah.
Would we be having this conversation about him if Ray Rice hadn't taken place the week before?
And that's the other infuriating, like, there's such a major difference between these two situations.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
I, like, don't think there's being enough distinction made in the media.
I mean, there is no culture alive, really, to my knowledge, where it's cool to beat the shit out of your chick. but there's plenty where you can whoop the fuck out of your kid. He's from Texas. He's deep in the Bible. I mean, what did you think? He was going to sit down and reason with his kid about why you don't beat on your kid? No, he's Adrian Peterson.
I get that he probably deserves punishment.
Yeah, because he took it too far. And like, as much as I'll defend to some extent a parent's right to lay a hand on a kid, there's
make
something
a 4-year-old bleed.
Fuck,
yeah,
exactly. About welts on his balls and his ass. I mean, what the hell, man?
No, like, he's got his biggest issue, though, and this is like unrelated to the child abuse thing. What the media is not really covering is the fact that you got a guy who has, in his lifetime, he's had 7 children by 6 different women.
Yeah, and yet he seems like all like quiet and well-spoken on camera, so the media gives him a pass on that. Yet Cromartie, we know about him jizzing in everyone.
Yeah, and I guess my biggest problem with the way the story is being covered is like, honestly, let's be honest, if he were married to the mother of this child, would he have been reported to the police?
No, obviously the bitch just like wanted to fuck with him.
It's hard to say just because, like, if she took him to the hospital out of genuine concern, I think it's on the hospital legally to report.
Yeah, I do believe that is the case.
But it's one of those situations where if he were around all the time, I don't think he would just assume that this is how you discipline a kid. I just don't think he has enough experience child rearing, frankly. And he thinks he knows what he's doing based on his own experiences.
Well, yeah, even I don't want to sound callous as shit. Last year, like, wasn't his kid beaten to death? And it's like, like you said, is one of his fucking 7 kids by 6 chicks. How much time was he logging with this kid?
Everyone's that one like, was a little different because he didn't even know about that kid till like 3 months before the kid died.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know if that like is sad or it proves my point or what.
No, it's all horrible. Yeah. Like his life baffles me. His life truly baffles me.
It shouldn't. He doesn't wear condoms. There, his life explained. He fucking loves spurting one against a puss.
It's just, yeah, like I... The part of the story that doesn't seem to be getting any emphasis at all is like it's an emphasis of a discussion on how does one discipline a child? What's too far? Is this too far in the black community? And I'm like, no, the part of the black community that we need to really focus on here are the guys who just think that they can go around like blowing their load in anybody and then not marrying anyone.
Exactly.
That's not a way to live.
No, it isn't. And look, I listen to as much ODB as anyone. And for I thought it would be fun to have a roster of bastard kids. And again, condoms suck and pulling out sucks.
These are all truisms, yeah.
Yeah, and yet, you look at the financial reality. Fuck the morality of it. You know, whatever. Have a million kids. I don't give a shit. If you can't afford it, it's horrible. It's dumb and it's crippling for you. And not only that, you have to be a sociopath at the end of the day to just make these little lives all over the place that, you know, have a need for a dad to some extent and then be like, whatever, I'll follow you so you can DM me. How's that, kid?
He's not a sociopath, but he's delusional about how much time he has to log to be a dad. Because yeah, I don't know how much time he spends with the kid who got abused here in this case. I don't know how much time per year he spends with that kid, but I doubt it's more than... I'd be shocked if it was more than 3 weeks a year.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Fuck it.
So... I had one other point. I lost it, but, with Adrian Peterson, I'm actually concerned that he's never going to be allowed to play in the NFL again.
It wouldn't shock me. It's really easy to, like, dog a running back who's 29.
Not this guy.
Not him.
Did you see him last year?
Like, yeah, he's still sick, but really, how much longer do you think even the great AP has it in the tank?
He had at least this year and next.
That was my gut. I was going to give him to 31, maybe.
And he'd be all right 2 years from now.
Yeah. He'd be passable till 32.
But
it was like LT. LT was that good, and he had like this much extra compared to other running backs.
So what frustrates me with his situation is that if we're really concerned about the welfare of his kids, he's got 6 kids still like alive and like needing assistance. In the future, you know, he's got to get him to at least 18, right? Now we're basically going to cut his salary.
Take his livelihood, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand how this
is
the response.
Yeah, not to stereotype. I'm not going to say that he's banked 75% of his fucking salary. Hell, I don't know many athletes that would.
It's just one of the situations where it's really going to undermine all of his children's like future prospects if he's never allowed to play in the NFL. And I don't think that's part of people's calculus.
And not
here.
To fault him 100%, fuck any chick that got pregnant by AP and was like, oh, damn, I just hit the lotto, you know? Fuck you. Fuck you, bad Rosie Perez impression, apparently. Yeah, I don't know, man. We can move on from that. You want to do what's hot? What's hot for next week?
Yeah, let's look at next week's games. And I guess we got to start with Philly and San Francisco.
I picked that as a highlight. Eagles at 49ers. Huge statement, the win going either way. 49ers drop the Eagles, and they go 2-2. Guess what? Their season is not lost at this point. That's the statement it makes. Eagles win. They look good, man. Eagles look real deal. It'll be hard for anyone in the East to catch them.
That's true. I still have a hard time believing that's a team that can win four games in a row in the playoffs.
You're talking two wins were come from behind. I guess technically the Skins was a come from behind.
Yeah, no, they definitely put themselves in a bad position. Did you know Chip Kelly elected to receive in the second half? That's why Washington started with the ball in that game.
Yeah, yeah, and then just marched.
Yeah, so it was a horrible decision, and I'm sure like he's looking at it differently today because his team won. He's like, I'm not going to second guess the decision not to like receive the ball, but I find it bizarre. I find it really bizarre that he elected to kick to start the game.
I don't. You have a new quarterback. I think there's a bit of a, you know what, show us mentality.
Yeah, and you're at home. Yeah, it's just what ended up happening is Nick Foles and the offense didn't get on the field till there was 2 minutes left in the first quarter. That really was a major setback.
Everyone keeps saying that, but they were only down 7. When your special teams gets you the touchdown right back.
It really interferes with the offensive rhythm. Those guys were just sitting on the bench, just chilling. And it was really pathetic that the Redskins couldn't take a lead to half.
Just playing Angry Birds. Yeah, I mean, again, as a Skins fan, I'll mention they have the Thursday night game. They're hosting the Giants just super fast. If Cousins wins, then the momentum builds and builds and builds. If he loses, we're pieces of shit. We'll be calling for RG3.
If you're like me, you're not going to watch that New York versus Washington game because that's a dog pile right there. I don't want to see those two horrible teams. I got better things to do on a Thursday night.
I don't. All right, so Packers at Bears, 1 p.m. I'm surprised you skipped over this. I think this is another. I mean, it's one of the few divisionals next weekend.
I'm not convinced that game will show who's the best team in the NFC North right now.
I'm convinced of this much. If the Packers go to 1-3, they've got a fucking long haul ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled it out last year, though, so I'm not going to count them out. But that team is very disappointing right now, and I don't see how the offense is going to improve enough to be a serious contender in these playoffs.
Well, not just that. I don't know how much Rodgers is doing or not doing, but I know Lacy has regressed a lot. And yeah, if he keeps that up, then I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
What do you think of Carolina-Baltimore? Is that an interesting game to you?
I'll watch it. It'll be on locally. Frankly, I'm very tapped out on the Ravens this year, and not for the Ray Rice shit. I ever since they paid Flacco that much,
it's so hard to watch him run the offense. It really is. It's just painful.
Yeah,
because
I just don't have a lot of love for him. That was a team that always had like an okay quarterback, and then a sick defense. That's what I want out of the Ravens.
Their defense is looking good. I mean, it's not looking great, but they're looking good.
Yeah, but they don't interest me as a team to watch anymore. I just don't. I get it. You do a little more Baltimore time, and I could pull the Homer card. They won 2 years ago. I don't give a fuck, if we're being honest. Half the time they go up against a Skins game, and I know what I'm watching.
Just watching Joe Flacco infuriates me most of the time.
Yeah, he ain't good.
When he makes great plays, it's fun to watch. It's one of the reasons you watch the NFL. It's when he just makes some intangible magic happen. That's part of the reason I watch football.
Yeah, it's like watching a retard with a katana. Every so often, it'll just slice someone in your half. You're like, holy fuck, did that just happen?
Most of the games are not very good this week, though. There really aren't a lot of good games for week four, man.
I have, who the fuck's at the Cowboys? Saints at Cowboys is the Sunday night. That's all right.
That's worthwhile, but New England at Kansas City's a...
that was the last, that was the Monday night game. That's what I wrote down.
That's a dog turd. I don't know. Screw your girlfriend on Monday night, man. Don't waste your time watching that game.
That won't be happening. That won't happen. Trust me on that. Yeah, I only care because if the Pats win, then guess what? Their momentum continues and Andy Reid looks like a bowl of fucking shit with a mustache on it.
Hey, they kill the Dolphins this week, so we'll see what happens. And Jamal Charles was out. They had a lot of injuries for KC.
How long is he gone,
week?
By the way? Isn't he like banged the fuck up?
I don't know what his deal is.
Is he a week to week?
Okay. I think he's week to week. That's what I'm hoping.
All right, I didn't know on that one. Well, Howie, we can punch out. I am playing the outro music. It should be kicking in any time now, except it's not. So how about you start? There we go. There we go, well-produced show.
Hey, man, let's get Nyxtra on next week for Fan and Focus.
All right, we can do that.
Yeah, let's see if she's available on a Monday.
I'm sure she will be. I don't think many of my friends have much going on better than me. All right, guys, this was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, and I was joined by Howard Flood. If you want to get a hold of the show, it's hosted at pfpod.com, as in Papa's Football Podcast. Get it? We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so just type the name Papa's Football Podcast into either of those programs' search engines, and we'll come right up. You can subscribe to us and all that happy shit. Give us reviews. Tell your friends. We're on YouTube as well. So I'm going to be posting that video momentarily of the live show. So, yeah. Guess we're out of here?
Yeah.
We're out of here?
Let's get out of here.